Upcoming talks, so for the colloquiums next week, we have James Robert Brown, who is a classic from Toronto, who is also here to the public lecture that he came up. He's a very interesting fellow, and he's going to be giving a talk which he says will be provocative for physicists about thought experiments and how thought experiments really work. The next week, so you can see notes. The next week, we have a replacement. Rachel Dean has postponed because she's going to come here to discuss the WMAP announcement of data. And WMAP still is not releasing the data. And there are lots of rumors about why. In any case, she's not going to come and tell us. So instead, we have Chatton Nyack talking about topological phases of correlated electrons and something to do with quantum computing. Then we have Robert Dekraft, which is a big, strange event. Then we have a mysterious person. Then we have Kurt Callen, who is not talking about string theory, but talking about biology, and then Mark Sharp talking about cosmology. And this week, so after this, we have our own seconds, Quados, talking about contextuality. We have Block and Mondo tomorrow, as talking about, we announced something to do with string theory. And on Friday, we have almost simultaneously, we have a conference that we announced many times on quantum gravity. And slot into the lunch hour of the conference, so it doesn't. We have Anastasia Olovic, who is a string theorist, talking about the angles. What? Okay, so that's the remaining form of protest. What? No. She could only come. She can only come at that time, and that is on that day, and so that you can all hear her. She's being put in the lunch house. And people say very, very neat things about her, and I think this will also be the first talk that we have on the interaction of string theory, which is physical. So, very good. And to introduce our speaker.
Okay, so today it's our pleasure to have Stefan Hoffmann here from the University of Stockholm, and I guess most of you recognize him because he's been a couple of us. Just for those who have never seen him, Stefan did his PhD at CERN, at Dr. Schwarz, the structure for which he was working. And they basically sort of uprooted that exception by showing that this more to the structure for which he made his new textbook at the bottom. And then I was fortunate enough that I decided to collaborate with me and to get something more scientific. And right now, this is my question.
So, thank you very much for the invitation. Thank you very much for the introduction. So I changed, I think it took a little bit to change a little bit the time version. It was a kind of stuff. The content of the talk is as announced. It's now called Fire in the Sky. I will try to explain, not too much technicalities, what that means. And it's based heavily on what I forgot what it's all about. From here, we start the rest of the world. So, the plan is the following. During this talk, you will very often hear the word orthodox. So, and we start with something which is supposed to be orthodox. Maybe I want to introduce the superstar in cosmology. And if you want to know something about cosmology, this is what you need to know. And it's called the power spectrum of Markov fluctuations of a scalar. And I will explain what that is, what a cosmologist understands when talking about power spectrum. And I will also show rates.
For me, it's no problem. I know the
consequences. I will also talk about relevance and give you an idea of why this power spectrum is so important. And giving you this idea, this should make us wonder why there is no work until now from quantum cosmology about predict. And that's actually what Oliver and I succeeded doing. So I will then speak about Planckian inference of this power spectrum from string theory modulated models mostly, but very phenomenological topics, so to say. And with respect to quantum cosmology, I would judge that this is also somehow orthodox because there's really a way to do that, and very often you have to introduce new parameters. Then I would come up with something one could call a quite general quantum cosmology setup, and be specific in some type of model. Which is nowadays called so the same nuclear model, it's the same nuclear second parent West plan. And we will calculate the power spectrum in the page that within some approximation schemes, which I will explain. So the idea now is just to see what is this power spectrum. Yeah? And from the second perspective, I will explain why it's so important. Okay? So now you cannot understand why it's important. So in order to explain what a power spectrum is, we need to solve the evolution of a scalar field on a given background field. And the favorite cosmological model for a background field is a Friedmann, the Mac-Robertson model. So C stands for classic. That is, in terms of so-called cosmic time, which is flex function being one, and co-moving coordinates, the matrix given this form, and the non-trivial part dynamics of this matrix is encoded in something which is called the classical scale effect. And when you solve cosmology, during cosmology, the other thing we do is to solve for the scale factor, and in inflationary cosmology, very often, you want to show the conformal relationship of this matrix to the Minkowski matrix, and then introduce conformal time to go and do that. So it looks rather simple, but you will see that actual static matrix means one piece to be very good. So if I want to solve the evolution of a scalar field on such a matrix, I should do that in a Hamiltonian setup. I want to quantize this theory, right? So this Hamiltonian will depend on the scalar field, its conjugate momentum field, and this is a quantum differential sector which makes every surface of the scalar vector itself. So that's a volume contour and a volume contour over an energy density. And actually, it's this energy density which drives the expansion of the universe, precisely this expression. Now, from a technical point of view, it's not very nice to work with these quantum fields here, because actually, mathematically, they are operator rather distributions. So what we very often do is, we transform the theory into a Fox-based computer. And in order to do that, we have to explain what the ground state is. Then you have to explain also in order to normalize every correlation function you want to calculate. So you have to come up with a definition of the ground state. And this is the Minkowski space, a rather simple thing to do. You just have something which is called an annihilation. It acts on the Wachau state, and this Wachau state is defined by the requirement that the annihilation operator emulates the vacuum. So it seems to be not so. But it's very difficult when it's coming to an expanding universe, because what's the vacuum state at an initial time won't stay, won't be the vacuum state at any time later. So you have to do a rebuild consideration for these type of things. So that's very difficult. But then comes a crucial point. At what time do I think I had one? So I have to specify an initial time. And at that initial time, I want to have a buff. So usually people think of it like, let's T go towards infinity. And then at the very beginning of this, I want to have a buff. Why? Because what the scalar field will do then is it will fluctuate along its own bucket, thereby producing all the structure in the surface data. That's the idea of inflation. The whole observed structure comes from bucket fluctuations of this scalar field along its own bucket. Well, we can re-express this elevation operator in terms of the scalar field and its conjugate momentum. We have a wave number characterizing the equations, wave number characterizing the equation. And what we get then is a Schrödinger-like equation which we can solve. And this is the only important thing for this conference now. If we solve the Schrödinger, what do we get? We do get a wave function, which long square takes the probability that at the initial instant of time in the object, we find a fluctuation characterized by this wave. So that's a standard wave. And solving it, we see that this wave function is proportional to the Gaussian. So we have here this pi squared. And the width of this Gaussian, this is called the power square. So you see when you read cosmology books, we very often read this line, we assume that the statistical probabilities of our density fields are fully characterized by Gaussian or solving. But you don't have to assume this. I mean, by these steps you can prove that actually vacuum fluctuations, statistical vacuum fluctuations, are given by this. If I'm too slow, if you know that, please tell me, just for my nice. So, this is a nice way of seeing what the power spectrum is. The time dependence of this wave function here is in the power spectrum. So this Gaussian shape, this distribution of the initial vacuum fluctuations, is preserved in the time evolution. And as I said before, the time dependence is fully equal in the power spectrum. Unfortunately, that is not a very good thing to calculate, right? So we have to connect this definition somehow to quantum field theory. And this is probably more the language we are used to. So what we do here is, and this is again an awful thing to do, we write fully in both, depending on wave number, characterizing the fluctuation, in this form, in terms of animation and creation. And these are the only functions we have to solve. They give the time difference. But the animation and creation operator depend only on the initial instant of time where we have to define what we understand, what we like to understand, as a vacuum. Now, if you forget the last transparency of the moment, you should ask, if I want to solve the time evolution, calculate correlation function, solve the quantum field theory of this field, on which state, on which quantum state should it act? In principle, it must not act on a vacuum state. Could be a medium state, some medium. So that's a sort of point where we really have to come up with a value of what we believe was the quantum state of the universe from a quantum field theory point of view at the beginning. It has not a few vacuums, but the end principle of vacuum state is that this is a minimal vacuum. If you have your vacuum state and you look for quantum fluctuations around this vacuum state, all the structures we observe today, and I'm speaking of galaxies, cluster galaxies, large walls and all that stuff originate from quantum fluctuations around the vacuum, around nothing. So they are produced out of passive. And this is the elegant idea of the model of equation. I don't see that this is a theory, it's a model. So let's choose a vacuum state, and then the power spectrum is given in terms of the vacuum equation of the intensity of the state. And usually, when you calculate this in cosmology, what you end up with is the following, namely, you look on this scalar fluctuation, scalar fluctuations, but now at which time should I make a picture of the scale? As long as they are inside scattering radius, inside a causal patch of this quantum field theory, physical processes can change the amplitude of the scale. So it's not clever to make a picture at that stage because a second later everything cannot change. Not a second later, 10 to minus 18 seconds. Everything can change. But now, and that's the same from the plate, these modes eventually cross that constant patch. And then they are frozen in. No physical processes outside their own light cone can happen and change their amplitude. And this is the moment where I want to calculate this process. Because with amplitudes, these fluctuations happen to rise and cross. These are the amplitudes which cross them later on in our universe. Some of them cross now, protruding supercrusts. And that's a funny thing. Hey? And you see that from point of view of this power spectrum, the same power goes to the structure formation on all scales. This power spectrum is flat, we have no explicit capabilities. So if I make a photo of the fluctuations and you ask me, can you guess on which lens scale you are sensitive? The general answer is to say, no, I cannot. Because if I move the resolution higher and higher, I still will see the same picture. So that's a fractal point of view of this problem.
Yes? When you say, going back to the line 4 is a definition.
This, yeah.
Yeah, which is only used for free field theory layers, the definition of your previous.
Yes?
Except for that was my first question. Second question. The second thing is then a result.
Yes. This is the solid equation of distance for this by calculating the phase of the field. This is the result.
Good.
And
can you show this to me? I'm just talking about, I mean, an idea for the orthodox or unorthodox, the result isn't the right amount.
I mean, the result is a framework, the inflationary framework. Yeah. This result is itself. It's one of the few examples where you can solve this theory analytically. But, of course, that's very heavy pressure. What you assume when you calculate this, that's where the point is, I would say I wouldn't believe it much, is what you assume that at all times, you always had a Friedman-Robertson bottom. No fluctuations, not even fluctuations at all. At all times, that's what sensory people always assume true when they do this. You always have this symmetry. Symmetries are no emergent concepts in this equation. So you claim that you have this space time even deep inside the Planckian horizon. And that's a very negative thing, and I would say you shouldn't believe, but I will also present my how can we circumvent this major problem? Does it? Yes.
And it's maybe when A over A equals to 0.
No. The point is the following. The inflationary model essentially is an approximation scheme how to solve the expanding vector. And the problem is that one of the approximations made is that the Hubble radius theorem equation space mean constant. That's one of the major approximations today. But this is only true a few defaults before the node crosses the horizon until a few emons after. But point is, when the nodes cross the horizon, they freeze in. The amplitude will grow like the scale time. But there's no causal physics changing the amplitude. There can be no equilibration between underdense and overdense regions can happen. Just amplitude is flown through bigger and bigger scales by the cosmological evolution. But no particle physics. That's why it's enough for calculating the horizon precision, because from that you can multiply the sign with a transfer function, which gives the rotational evolution of the spectrum until it crosses again inside the horizon. That's, so to speak, the trivial part of the vision. It's not trivial that it was solved by a very clever people that was not by the Islam, actually. So it's not trivial, but it is known. Yes.
Can you comment on this L that's in the...
Yes, sorry, I couldn't do that. That's that L. Okay, that's a matter of how honest you want to be. Because so I try to be honest and put the L inside. The point is, at some stage you have to normalize the scale of things. But actually, you will run into problems when you want to do that. Just think of a plane wave solution for a free scale of field. This is not normalized in the Hilbert space of the field. You look at Dirac specialisms. So what people do is, typically, they put it in a box and makes this very vague box normalization. And L actually is a dimension of the box. And at the end of the day, you put L to infinity. And then you... And actually, that doesn't do any harm, because the phi themselves, or the non-square of phi, looks like modular L cubed. So this fact of cancer, I just want to be honest at that stage. And I try to be honest with all the stages. So, even if you have the feeling that now you can look at everything, the main point is to understand that this power spectrum is very wide. Suppose I have a chaotic fluctuation. What can that be? The most prominent, least thought about skin temperature. That's how the most prominent. Or large scale structure. These, I would all of these three center on this. And I would then ask the question, what's the power spectrum of these fluctuations? And then I would say, of these fluctuations, let's say today, so the T should be. And now comes the major point. It is given by the initial power spectrum. But initially, I had only the scale. So this is exactly the power spectrum I was elaborating. So any observable, we speak about cosmology, or when we want to investigate the universe, which has to do with fluctuations, any, will be directly proportional to this power spectrum. That is why it's so. No? But that is also why it's so much constrained, because we have a lot of experimental constraints from the universe when it was 300,000 years old up to the universe today. When you observe large scales, all these desires, and that's a terrific thing, depend on this power spectrum. And that's why it is so important. And this was the question you asked before. The evolution of this power spectrum from the point the fluctuations cross the Hubble rings to today is described by the transfer function. And this can be fully solved in cosmological innovation theory in the framework of terminology. That's what makes this thousands of patient data run in our own. Right? Now, that was all up to the reason details. So everybody believed you have only this product. But actually, that's not true. And I have no time to speak about that, but that's also one of my favorite subjects, is that this orthodox thing here is wrong. one is right, but the only time dependence is of this transfer. But most of the fluctuations will suffer from non-equilibrium processes. And we showed that there is a third factor, a damping factor. And this damping factor is somehow an integrated effect because the system has memory for this cost. And it's very beautiful physics behind the speed. A lot of people are actually true, actually. But I cannot speak about that today. I want to concentrate on that because I'm very excited to solve this problem. So this P5 is universal. T is fixed by a cosmological model. There's no input from quantum field theory. And B depends heavily on the theory which is behind the fluctuations in microscopes.
If you look at the final result, which is over 2 pi squared, in Arthur's papers, we usually expand the wave function in a limit that they really pretty close to zero.
No.
2 plus 10 is.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, but. No.
No, no, no.
The point is. Can you see this?
It's better to be quite strong.
So, the point is the following. What we said is the following. People in cosmology usually do approximations with respect to two regimes. One regime is this here should be much smaller. I think that's a regime of... No, you do refer to the regime of this as bigger, right?
Yeah, and said that you're trying to find the other technologies that are right. And then you should calculate the things that maybe from those who are outside of
that. No. The point is, if this is much bigger than one, what does it mean? It means that my fluctuations are well inside.
No, I mean the other things.
The other things. And this I don't need to solve because when my modes cross the right, no physics, no causal physics can change the quantities of the fluctuations because they are outside the causal picture. That's why it's enough to stop at the rising cost.
I understand this because I don't understand why people in theory and calculation are finding that part of the limit of the wave function. It means that they're finding the limit of the wave function in this.
People actually, one way to get this approximation, but you don't need to, if you are not afraid of special functions like Hunter functions, you can solve the equation analytically. What people do is, they first solve the equations for two regimes. One you describe, I'm very much outside the horizon. The other, I'm really very much inside the horizon, where I want to somehow rediscover the cosmic. And then they patch two equations together, the two solutions. But there is no need for a fluid. So, now comes the final thing, and that's hydrogen imprints. And I first want to describe status quo in the literature. You have two classes of hydrogen imprints which have been considered so far. And one is a choke, actually, in some sense. I mean, it's a very nice proposal, but it's also very comfortable. This is nowadays called the Dangles. I don't like this any very much because it's very complex. And it's the following picture. That's everything which is behind the very technical kit of the world. So we have an energy state, right? And we somehow have idea that there is, let's say, a cutoff. And we know this cutoff. We know physics very much. Yeah? Physics below this cutoff is known, unfortunately non-fundamental. That's a dirty word. Nobody wants to be non-fundamental. But it's like this. It's non-fundamental but efficient when it comes to predictions. You can solve these things. And then there's physics above this platform, which is unknown, but people don't worry too much about that it's unknown because it's fundamental. Well, that's a nice thing, right? And we don't know what the theory looks like, but we call it fundamental, and it makes much cleaner impression. So, unfortunately, it's very inefficient when it comes to predictions. And Ulf Danielsson made a very nice proposal. He was saying the following. Actually, it's not fair to define the reference in this machine here, because I have no idea what my scalar field will be. It's still perfect zero. We know that some point field has strength to the quantum gravity. So this is not fair. See, but what's fair is I know the physics from this cutoff form. And Venziano then calls this cutoff the new physics hyperspace. If you last line is about this, you have a fundamental physics below. The problem with the proposal is actually, I think, that this cutoff is not a real hypersurface when it comes to general not space. Why? Because it's defined by a dispersion relation that mixes momentum and coordinates. So it lies in some very weird way in phase space. So we have no well-defined initial value. But what happens is, okay, we don't care about that. What we will do is, we will impose our definition of Wachtla when a certain mode crosses. From this mode, that every mode there will see the Wachtla at different time. Because every mode will cross this hyperspace at different time. So that's a very radical proposal, but a very honest one. And then they let us study the impact of this hyperspace on my new cycle. So, we don't impose initial conditions, we don't define the right state of minus k. The initial time is actually k capital. And each quantum field sees its vacuum state along its platform again at a different time. And the result is following. He discovers again the usual plus the multiplication. I was not lazy down to write down the precise formula somehow. But I think to do it for a good reason. That is, the modification goes like h to the lambda is a cutoff, to the power of n. If n equals 1, this will give you multiplications in the CMB of the order of 10^-1%. And that's magic for it. Because 1% is what you will be able to discover with the new CFD experiment, like the Planck satellite, which is repeated.
1% of the MSK.
Yes,
precisely. You're assuming that the catalyst is free. You're assuming that the catalyst is free.
Actually, I'm assuming that the cutoff. Or what say assume? I don't assume it. Say assume that this thing is something, some multiple of the Planck points. And you are right to say that only for very specific values of this gamma, they will get any input as. But this is the most optimistic scenario you could consider. Then, came Venziano and showed that actually, by doing canonical transformations, you can get basically any power you want. So this anything was wrong is going to stop at this. Now, I see people looking in a very questionable way. I think it's following anyway. Usually, canonical transformations cannot change because it was already possible at this time. Here it can. Because we use actually the annihilation operators to define what's roughness. And how the annihilation operators look like depends
on this phenological transformation. The definition of Navarkov depends on transformations. And that is why also my physical design will depend on the canonical transformations of it.
So, yes, just a last question. I mean, how could this have any predictive power? Because if it keeps agreeing with the first value, you can just adjust your canonical transformations to get the answer you want.
That's precisely that is the point. But essentially, you can make this multiplication to zero. Now that's the point. I think what they did in that calculation, they overstretched a little bit in order to get a positive result, right? And that's what Benetzian and other guys found out. But the problem is that Benetzian and Danielson are good friends. And then Benetzian's last sentence is it's not excluded, but it's one under a myriad of possibilities, which could be realized. So, the second Planck inference, a little bit more motivated for strength theory. And that is from string severing amplitudes. You see that's what David Cross did, that the uncertainty unit that's active, not really, of course, strings will be realized at the same point of planets than any other field. But the effective field that's modified in accordance with the notion of a minimal lag string. And the big thing strings really does, and this we should not understand. But this minimal lag string is dynamically generated, which means it's in accordance with all symmetries of the fields. It's not a rigid body or anything. So my minimal resolution here is constrained to this minimal lag string. People try to implement this idea in effective world energy. And this, of course, we cannot do with general minimal lag like strings, therefore we would use strings. So they assumed something like a rigid body. And this phrase immediately pointed me. Might be not too big a problem. I mean, we have here some of the inventors of double special relativity. So we might feel this actually no one did. We did the calculation in the frame of double special relativity. That's astonishing. And I think you don't have to have a comment, by the way, in the paper when you say the wave equation I would get on the scale up, you can divide it because of the non-linear, because the divide is perfect. But actually, in the inflationary framework, you have to linearize it. So I think it would be possible to solve that. But there are some very generic features here in the scale which are really and I think. Features which you would find in one planet, any string showing a nice overlap. And this is the following. If I look for momentum space intervals, those have modified because of the exact existence of the minimum sphere. And the funny thing is now that modification is going here, actually close to zero for higher and higher momentum. Higher and higher momentum means I have increased the resolution. So when I try to resolve space-time better and better, actually, the phase space for the particle which I would need is changed for the phase space smaller small scales gets to zero, and therefore the probability exchanges the space. It's a very nice thing. Beyond all these technicalities, it's a very nice picture. It's nowadays referred to as transplanting them. And the other success, for instance, was what Myers worked on, is you get, of course, a modified calculation. And in the case, that's the technical model, a modified calculation, which is of course with the existence of the humans. So these are the two basic effects which are studied. And of course, that's the technical effect. So, now what can we say?
We want to come up with finding how to calculate this power spike from California to Washington.
Yes. Before you go away to the topic, we just come to a conclusion. So the work you're just describing.
Yeah, I didn't because I thought actually, the I would say it's famous here, probably not judge, but there are so many papers on this phenomenological implementation of movement length theory. But I would say it's fair to say that the basic conclusion is you wouldn't get modifications. See, but yeah, that's, I think that's my, so it really depends on the complication. The point is, it's basically the same problem you have in your computer, physical level letters. You can end up with a lot of possibilities for field theories which are not familiarized as principles, like higher relative, and that basically arbitrarily exponents of the relative. And it's not, there's no unique wave analysis. So, it's an open wave. So, the side up for quantum free parabolic square is open. Now, the thing is, all these derivations until now believe that all this is free parabolic square. That's a big assumption. This assumption can also be in quantum cosmology, actually, that this quantum cosmology is still also facilities not much of the government from the very beginning. Now, that's of course makes these series effective series, but it makes it possible to compare them to standard results in the world. So we do that. This is a Hamiltonian of our theory, depending on the scale factor and its random variable, which is essentially time related. And it looks like this. And I immediately see I will have a problem if I have the 1 by A B. So may it be even the pure computational set for if A goes to 0, which would be a reasonable assumption for the size of the universe at some instant time, then this signal explodes. But actually, that's not really the cosmological problem. Now, the ingredients you would need in order to build such a machine is, of course, in the Hilbert space. And then basically, you have two choices, unfortunately. One is, you come up with a fundamental representation of the scale. But then, up to now, at least, it's not clear how to get a fundamental representation of the field in the same stage. You will get an approximation, or the other way around. So you look for non-equivalent representation.
A, B, you look for positive.
This thing?
A, B, C, S, positive.
No, it can be there. Yes, I mean, I could translate.
No, you have to get right on the
table. Depends on your drive, but I thought that would be the best primary specialty of the universe because of the case. Yes. No, that's absolutely true. I would say the physical set for this theory lies for K bigger signal, totally free. But that mathematical consistency, you need to allow us to measure. But physical set is only getting positive. Until you want to come up with something like feedback, something like that. But that's too much. So the mathematical consistency you like, but let's concentrate on the physical set of this theory. So the quality management is, of course, that A minus 1, the inverse Planck scale, the inverse scale factor, should be well defined, and that's a big problem. And the other quality management I did not have is we should have a plausible limit to classical people that was wrong. So, Oh, no, now I have to apologize. There's one thing that you will understand if it is super important. So, okay. If I want to couple method to this purely for the paper set for the other side, I have to take it more simple. In the sense that when I want to apply a certain method, it's not solve the method which solve it. Therefore, I have to assume that A and A minus 1 are both multiplication operators with respect to the same basis. And it's possible to find a solution. But it's important to keep it in mind. It's further restriction. My Hilbert space will then be the tensor product of my, let's say, geometrical Hilbert space and the scalar space. And the background field method basically consists of the following. We have a Hamiltonian, and that's Hamiltonian of the scalar field sector. Depending on the cause of the scalar field, it's propagated by the matter. Scale factor and its input is actually not key. And what you do is you replace dependence on these operators with the dependence on expectation values of these operators with respect to the given state of the universe. That's factor. So we are not taking into account how the universe looks and changes its time by the taking account of the average effect of quantum.
I'm confused by the distinction between A and A inverse. I mean, normally, you just write something in terms of A, you could put any combination of A and A inverse
in one. Sorry, that's a very good question. Sorry. I should have. Suppose. I want to measure the inverse scale factor with respect to some cosmological field laws for size. My requirement, my quality management was that this is a phase value that should stay finite. Okay? But in order to be so, A, composite in scale minus 1, cannot be the identity. Because the scale factor is allowed to go to zero, if A to the minus 1 would be really inverse, its expectation value would go to failure.
Is this an attempt to avoid the singularity?
Yes.
By letting A inverse be finite?
Yes.
But then, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can insert multiples of 1, which is A and A inverse.
I will get a concrete circuit, that's just a general thing. I will present how to do that.
One could be an infinite number of ways to
think
in terms of A and A
inverse
that are equivalent traditionally, but in this framework will give different predictions.
Yeah, the problem is, of course, we have an ordering problem, as usual. We have no mutual constraints for which order the operator should occur. In quantum physics, we are lucky because we trivially see how to find out what it is. But here it's much more difficult. We don't see that trivially, in a trivial way. Because actually, all this what we refer to has a cosmological singularity estimation. So then we cannot use the singularity as a measure of which order we should prefer. In quantum physics, it's different. If you take a different operator ordering, you get infinities. I mean, that term is somehow the order.
So it's like bias of choice here.
In principle, you have to look for all possibilities and see how scaling the results. You have no guidance.
This is
so the first thing you can do is just take the standard thing and put the expectation down.
Yes. But of course, it's an important point. I mean, this question is unsolved. So then, this is the energy density of the field, and here you have a function on, let's say, the inverse volume of the universe, and this is essentially the redshift. of this. Now the equation of mode channel, I just wrote them down to somehow amplify what's the state of the art now is the model of knowledge. Because you have this equation of mode, and now you can in principle plug in any model you want. We will of course use our Visual Linear model, but we can also use other ones from the equation and put it here in and use the equation you have to solve. So in the background field method, this is the master equation you have to solve. Unfortunately, in order to solve this, you have to close because it needs information how the eigenvalues depend on time. And this comes from something which is now a generalized Fried model that gives the relative time change of the eigenvalues of the scalar in terms of this condition. Now we see how complex what is going now, because if I put this result in this equation, this differential equation, I mean, you will get phi and higher powers and so on, and it will be fortunately, we don't have to do that. We can transform this differential equation in a very neat way in order to get about this plot. Yes?
Just before you do that, that's expectation value of A dot, or
no
time grid and with expectation value?
Precisely this, the last second. The second.
And that's the statement of that number.
Yes.
So, if you succeed in doing so, if you succeed in doing this, would you know how to compute the corrections to this that scan between this and actually doing corrections?
It all depends. What do you mean by that?
The right thing being used quantum, the quantum evolution to compute the evolution of the full entangled state between intergravity and the matter.
In some sense, yes, because that's a very good question. Because if you have a full quantum, if you put solid quantum, you should be always able to, in order to do this, to make this really nature, you should be able to do a limit where you can do it with respect to spectral fields. In that sense, we could test them, in which sense these models we know are actually really effective theories of the real thing. But only in that sense. Which does equation have? Ah, okay, sorry. No, I have to get my labels sticking. You mean this equation here? Mm-hmm. Oh. This equation here. What you do is finally have Hamiltonian theory, and you write down the two Heisenberg equations of logistics that is the commutators of the dynamical variables of pi and pi with the Hamiltonian. And then you insert a few Heisenberg equations in each other. Heisenberg equations are differential equations of first order. Then you insert them in each other to get a second order. Sorry. Good point. First of all, you are not quite correct. Usually, if it's plus 3, 8 or 2. So when you got this result, first you thought, oh. That's weird because it's a friction term actually, because that's a friction term, so I didn't. That's a friction term usually. It describes how the scalar field intensity is damped by the cosmological expansion. And in order to do a friction term, you need a plus field. Otherwise, it would not. But actually, it turns out when you do the plus limit, the other part is absolutely. The other part is compensated. So at the end of the day, in the classical limit, you will get plus 3H5R. So that's 3.9. I'm so sorry. You only want to have this.
So, and this is strange. And we will get it, but what we see in this formulation, already is how this quantum function is higher formulation, is that this friction to the Hall expansion consists of two parts, filled by the change of the scale factor, the Hubble flow, and the Hubble flow of the inverse volume. So the lambda flow should have two contributions which add up to the usual thing. That's very funny.
But it all depends on you taking the expectation A minus 3. If I wrote that as A expectation A for skew, I would get a different friction term and get other different things.
Actually not.
That's related to Raphael's question, right?
No.
I don't get the same thing.
Actually, I think not that A minus 1 and A are both modification operators with respect to the same phases of the Hilbert space.
Can you tell us what, how many rows they have to come in to the scalar field in order to get the semi-classical coordinate? In other words, how do you separate out A from A in the Hamiltonian sphere?
Is that
the
row?
It's not a row.
So basically, everything, if you forget about these black brackets, you would have two tensor products operating on different Hilbert spaces. So everything depending on A or A minus 1 or any color of it would actually operate on this Hilbert space, while the scalar field would operate on this Hilbert space. But then you do an averaging with respect to this Hilbert space. And it's only the background field method with respect to that field. This finding is still this problem.
But if that's Hamiltonian, it only seems to have A inverse in it.
Huh?
I only see A inverse in there.
Yeah.
So how did you get in the equations of both and how did you get
it? That's because when I solve the Heisenberg equations, it turns out that the conjugate momentum field is then given by A cube I dot. And that's where you get powers of A cube.
So. And the other question, do you have separate equations for motion for A inverse? I mean, you solve this equation of motion for A, expectation value of A. But A inverse is no longer exactly the same thing. So, can they have its own?
That's a good point. I have to correct myself. I will not need this equation, and I don't need an equation for A dot, maybe A minus 1 dot, because I will rewrite the whole differential equation in terms only of A and no title. But it would have its own. Yeah, it would have its own. It's given by its computation with a Hamiltonian. But I didn't write it out. I mean, I can of course calculate the commutation relation of A minus 1 with H to get the great proportion of the Heisenberg set of for A to minus 1, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should discuss, I don't understand how A is expressed in terms of the other.
This is a different one. Maybe
Oh my god, I have to finish. So, give me 5 minutes.
Which started this time, not
mine. Oh, I have the equation. So one idea, now is the one that a concrete proposal for quantum cosmology. And one idea on the market is Hossein Lehmann. The goal of this model was singularity evolution in quantum field analysis. Ours is cheap. It's of course achieved by the wide Hilbert space. So you take a potential to the wide space, and you take L2 over R4 instead of R. Now, for non-experts, R4 is some complicated 3D line, which allows for the normalization many ways. That's a big thing. Big. Well, he wants to like to know a bit more precise. If you have a locally compact abelian group, how to get to the Bohr complex? Do it's a function. You go to the group, which consists of all homomorphisms of the group and the subject. And then you polarize this set by taking the discrete topology. Now you take again the dual of that. This is a portion of the application. And by standard results of topology, it's the point of the space. Because the real line, that's not so difficult, because the dual of the real line is the real one again. So you take the discrete topology in the real line. And the tricky thing is now to take the dual of the real line equipped with a discrete topology. But this can be done. The price you have to pay is that there's no fundamental representation of P, unfortunately. But that's the whole idea behind the multi-element representation of the character. Now, still running out of time, and I foresaw that, the cooking result is following. You can formulate, so you can find the basis of this Hilbert space. Are the eigenstates of the scale type. And these eigenstates have these eigenvalues. And humans characterize the responding stage to humans. How it is. And then the funny thing is that A minus 1 is also, or has the same eigenstates, but with this eigenvalues, and I forgot to write down what this P is. So if you take, instead of V line, it's 4, and this V is here. So we basically compare the sizes of the universe when their eigenvalue is divided by 1. The achievements are, you can normalize by invariance. A and A minus 1 are multiplication operators on the same set of eigenstates. And, this is the most important thing, we have a resolution of the main conformation. As Thomas told us yesterday, that's good. And it's not really a precise conformation. That is, the eigenvalue of the scale factor can be zero, which is okay. But if I now want to measure the inverse length scale for the scale, which has zero size, I get a kind of error. And that's somehow a very beautiful picture of the scale scale. Because here you have no minimum length, you only have a maximum inverse length scale without having. It hasn't been done. It was a moment that was available for the test.
No, it's
for large scale factors.
Yes,
I don't know.
Oh, you see, for large scale
factors. For large scale I will show this, of course. This theory, and that is a phenomenal success, which makes it monthly, has correct classical treatment models in water. And then actually the eigenvalues of A, A minus 1, will be really, for large A's, they will be really inverse to the eigenvalue. In that sense, it's sort of an
inverse. If you find square, it was
4.
Oh, there
it wasn't very good. I cannot remind you because it just didn't go enough. So it's a difference of the size of the universe compared to the eigenvalues of the scale factor divided by 1. So, and in that theory, in that model, we can solve everything. And since I'm running out of time, let me show you the final solution. And this path is a study showing what is a great approach. So, this is power spectrum, again, of quantum fluctuations, when we accept the average of this in the spectrum of field method applied to the HW.
And how does it look like?
And this is really non-trivial. I mean, that was really amazing. Because it was not constrained, it's a very complicated calculation. It could not be constructed. This power spectrum is given again. The major contribution comes from the ordinary power spectrum to get the orthodox calculation, plus the modification. And the modification goes as Plancian squared, power range squared over the wave number squared. So, our prediction is then a contradiction. What Dundas said, that the first correction in this power spectrum should be on the order of the time squared and not of the order of the Planck. That's the discrepancy. And Planck is actually relatively fair. Why? Because if you solve the equation of motions for Planck alone, the modifications of the nature of the orbits of Planck, then you have to square it to that power spectrum. If the power spectrum should receive corrections of the order of Planck, the scalar field must get corrections of the order square root of Planck. And that's very difficult to choose. So, and what I did, yesterday, basically, it was not the following. We said, okay, let's take even the case of the Stanley-Yeltsin model and repeat the calculation. With this idea of not defining the derivatives of minus infinity, but just when it crosses the sum of energies. What we find in contradiction with their statement that the natural corrections of the order 10 to the minus 9. So that's the best you could get. This factor makes things worse for a bigger and bigger case. That means actually that one cosmology in the H1, but I'm pretty sure also in other methods, and that we will investigate how the fast things predict that there will be modifications in the power spectrum which will not serve in the next generation of CDs. But it tells us also that this theory, and this is astonishing, is a priori not in the power by this very crucial thing. I mean, this power spectrum was crucial to calculate. And it's not the mistake of the theory that experiments are not sensitive to the corrections. We claim that a lot of claims in literature actually that this is the nature of correction to expect also confused. And that's a funny thing that you get a result in a totally different set which frees a lot of claims of correction. But really, it's more ideal having one cosmology. So, there will be no chance of solving if Planck observes something. And that's why I said this model might be, like, having chance of different experience. If Planck will observe something, this model is flawed. And it's interesting. Thank you very much.
May we have many more seminars to which viewers stand up and say, that in certain sections observed my theory is wrong. Thank you. More questions? We've had lots of discussion about this kind of
questions. Your modification to your cell spectral modification was Bayesian, and it's also perfectly versus Bayesian. Which means if you go into the smallest case, you can probably compensate the smallest of all the other side paths in some options.
No, that was also what I thought. But the problem is, I see I wrote this result as K over K star. And this K star is the biggest angular scale which could be seen that independent CD experiments. That means K has always to be larger than K star. And this was the K inference correct. So you would not be able to throw up this correction midway in the sessions. I also was thinking about that correction.
Where did K-star come
from? This K-star comes essentially from point 2 of 8. if you ask what are the biggest, the largest fluctuations, the largest wavelengths of fluctuations you could observe in the mediums. So that's really somehow it's not an experiment that comes to play, it seems. Since we have only one universe, it's fundamental. What are the largest wavelengths we can observe?
I was just wondering, I mean, you've got ambiguities up there, so it turns to the further question I have, you know, they all have you checked what happens if you choose to take these expectation values, they inverse in a different way? I mean, presumably the LP squared dependence is going to stay, but how much variation is there for reasonable alternates?
So you mean a variation to this fact that I take another model for them as much or if I change operator order?
Change operator order.
So we have another choice. But you certainly have to be honest with you. Actually, that's something we just started to check this because, you see, some of the most favorite rumors why doubling that is not the percent. And by the way, you are not. Say, there was this year, I don't know, on five or six conferences, and all conferences had 90% of new data, because new data should be out for 1 year. So the favorite thing people think of, and there are two, but one is that they have problems with identity. That's why it's definitely interesting question. And then, of course, the question, as a variation to identity, is in some sense, could be some sense already from studying this up. That kind of, I mean, because of these other experiences, but it's pretty new.
The rule of thoughts is going down. The rule of thoughts is going down.
How is that happening for the time? And that is what I think one has to check that because I cannot tell that it's non-trivial to judge this. I mean, yeah, we are Gaussian. In the sense, we are Gaussian that this power spectrum will just change the width of the wave. Yeah, that's the other one. That's right.
Why don't you use the power rather than
Okay. If I would like to get a correction of the order of our plant, right, for the powers, if I want to get that, then let's say the power spectrum is basically given by the intensity square of the scalar. That would mean my formula is much correction to the classical solutions of the scalar would have to be of the order square root of the planet. And that's difficult to understand, the order of the planet. The order square root of the order of the square. But that is a bit of an able connection. We have corrections of the five planets. Anyone can see that on the follow through the calculation of public council.
Make it one last.
So, I'm trying to.
The scale factor is one thing. But if you can't do the scale factor, you can do the way you use it. Then, other parts of the metric, called scale and temperature fluctuations, that the school is really far back to the QA.
I mean, that's a point. I mean, this is not really helping until now. The point is, one has to rethink the total cosmological probabilities. One has to do that under probabilities. One has to do that under the letter of probabilities, also. And then, only at the end of the day, you can really judge that this noise comes alive. It could be that it depends on the power spectrum that we expect. It could be. So these calculations have to be done.
I mean, yeah, the other answer to that is that this is how a long bulk of gravitation field of quantized and deformed gravity source models the Hund-Hohr gravitation field. But that's where it came from.
Yeah, it has this. I mean, this one equivalent representation, and this is of course borrowed. I mean, that's the idea. It does know what it's like.
And one like a white one, nevertheless. I should also say that this model still has predictability when it's drawn by light, besides that it still has predictability in the supergravity. Whereas the standard model doesn't have it. It's a great start.
And we have no extra element.
Okay, you really want this? I said last, but go ahead.
No, but quick. So you assume the inflation here. So that means there's a phase in which you basically have a distributed universe.
Yes.
And that distributed universe has a much bigger symmetry than this translation where it has a boost in direction.
Yes.
But you've broken that somehow. I mean, should we not be bothered by that? In other words, you've assumed the distinguished slanting to find your ANA input.
Okay. That's, you see, this refers to, like, to the problem is when you really define quantum field theory in the vacuum state with respect to the sitter space, it turns out that this definition is very unstable with respect to correlations. So in that sense, what we were saying is that it might be, since I have modifications, it might be that at the end of the day, I won't be able to find my answer. Is it that?
I don't think it's mechanical.
Yeah. But it wouldn't be consequence.
You're carrying my question further. Sounds like a short question, but a long answer.
No, because this, you know, of course,
the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You take the symmetry because you don't get the symmetry phase, and somehow they work with
yes.
I
didn't want to give a long answer to that. The point is what I mean.
Should we work on it?
Yeah, but that's, see, here we are at the point everybody who is doing these kind of things is. But because this is connected to the question, what is the right function space?
Yeah, that is.
And the problem from the field is, at that stage, we are not more holy, let's say, like all the others, but we just are able to compare on the project itself with the same assumptions all the others make. With their calculation.
Well, then that doesn't have the same worry, I agree with that.
Not actually, in the language seems very happy because it's said after all, it's the tactics who's not happy with it, is Calvin. Calvin thinks it's wrong. It's like, if you don't have anti to say that, the theory must be wrong. If you don't have anti to say that, I don't think it's become right. That's Calvin's point. I think Danielson always said, look, it's new tactic theory. I mean, it's okay.
But I mean, it still doesn't distinguish spraying in that effective theory. In that effective theory, there is a distinguished spraying. Yeah. Because the cutoff is in terms of the frequency, and frequency is in that expression, and not in some other way. They might be in the dynamics.
In the dynamics, and that could be true, but that's what I said. Could be also solved in some doubt, first for scholars, especially.
Well, let me touch on the fact here that this is verging into a very, very interesting discussion. And here for another...
I feel a little false for them. I would love to enjoy the questions.
And we look forward to any more discussions. And we look forward to testing it here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I know what happened to that. They see the message of that saying, help, I'm a black hole.